ER101. In conjunction with the American College of Emergency Physicians, get the 411 on your 911. Here's your host, Dr. Lee Vinoker.
Hi, and welcome to ER101. July is Herbal Supplement and Prescription Awareness Month, and often people are taking both, and it might not always be so healthy. My first guest to talk about it is Dr. Gerald O'Malley. He's a board-certified emergency physician and a medical toxicologist, as well as the associate professor at Thomas Jefferson University. Welcome, Dr. O'Malley. Thanks for being on the show.
Hi, Lee. Thanks for having me.
So it's amazing today some of the statistics on how many people are using supplements or some type of complementary or alternative therapies. I saw one quote that 38% of adults and even 12% of kids are given supplements. And I think people have this idea, oh, well, it's natural, so it can't hurt me.
I think that those statistics are probably, you know, underreported. We really have no idea how many people are taking supplements and herbs and vitamins and performance-enhancing drugs. We just, you know, have no idea because the industry is largely unregulated.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about that first. So as far as these supplements and stuff, we don't, besides the FDA sort of not regulating them, they do have some requirements which they call good manufacturing practices. So what does that mean?
That's correct. The FDA requires manufacturers and distributors of dietary supplements to conform to good manufacturing practices, which has to do more so with industrial hygiene and making sure that the plants are clean and that the products contain the ingredients that they're supposed to be, that they advertise that they contain. However, that those requirements are really up to the manufacturer and distributor to guarantee. The FDA doesn't get involved at all until after the product already comes to market. And I think that's where the problems often lie. The manufacturers and distributors just are required to register with the FDA, but they don't have to submit their product to the FDA for any sort of safety or efficacy monitoring. And so there's no sort of regulatory oversight on any of these products until they get to the shelves of your supermarkets or your drugstores, and or you can buy them online, and then the FDA doesn't get involved until after a problem occurs and is reported.
And, you know, aside from efficacy, whether these work, that's a whole nother issue. I mean, I think safety is a big one. And sometimes, isn't it only after maybe there's a problem or we see people getting injured by some of these products that the FDA would maybe step in and even look at them? It's sort of like the honor rule for having good manufacturing practices, right?
That's correct. Actually, the FDA is prohibited from being involved in any of the regulatory oversight until after the product comes to market. That's because of the Dietary Supplement Health and Education Act of 1994, which was signed into law by President Clinton. The industry became really almost overnight, went from being fairly tightly regulated under a separate older act, the Food, Drug, and Cosmetics Act, and then this act in 1994 just sort of left the gates wide open, and it became the Wild Wild West, and manufacturers and distributors had no oversight. And again, like you said, the FDA doesn't get involved until after the fact. There was a case that sort of illustrates this. Not too long ago, about a year ago, I had a medical student come to me. She had gone home to her parents' house in New Jersey and had seen a great big bag of raw almond seeds on the table, and her parents were eating these raw almond seeds.
Not the nuts, the seed to grow the tree, right? Not the nut, not the almond.
Right.
Yeah.
Correct. The nuts on the inside. And, you know, as you know, that is actually each one of those seeds contains a small amount of amygdalin, which is metabolized into cyanide. So, and cyanide is a bad poison. So,
yes.
You have to eat quite a bit of it in order to get sick. However, there was this is about a 2-pound bag that her parents had purchased online from a manufacturer in California who was importing the seeds from Canada. So we did some quick calculations, and we realized pretty quickly that, with each seed, there contains a small amount of cyanide. If you took the average amount of cyanide per seed, the bag that I was looking at would be enough to easily kill 8 people.
Wow.
And so we reached out to the FDA, to the local FDA here in the Northeast, and we sent them samples of the product as well as photographs and some details. We contacted the manufacturer in California, who was, wasn't doing anything illegal. And we had notified the FDA that there were several case reports of people who had gotten very, very ill from eating these other products. And yet the FDA said, yeah, well, nobody's gotten sick from eating this product yet. So there's really nothing we can do.
Yeah.
And it was a very frustrating experience because, again, as you said, they have to wait till somebody gets sick and the sickness is reported before they can step in and do anything.
Yeah, it's potentially an issue. And then the other issue with it, so that's one issue, the good manufacturing practice, which says, okay, is there bacteria in it? Is there really the herb that they say that's in it? Is there dirt in it? Things like that. And then the other issue is, say that there are herbs and vitamins that are out there that are at least pure and are what they say they are. Then there's the whole issue of, if you're taking medicines, do these interact with your medicines? And people often don't tell their doctors if they're on certain vitamins and herbs and supplements.
No, that's true. We actually have a research project going on right now with our Department of Hepatology. One of the liver doctors, the hepatologist in our hospital, is very involved with the Drug Injury Liver Network, the DILN, and it's a federally funded research organization that tries to collect cases of drug-induced and dietary supplement-induced liver problems. And so we're screening all our emergency department patients for the use of dietary products and supplements and vitamins and stuff. And it's, amazing how many people are actually on it. We have several months' worth of data collected, and about 8% of our patients are reporting some product, but you really got to drill down. If you just ask somebody, are you taking dietary supplements? And they say no. I say, well, what about vitamins? What about performance-enhancing drinks? What about, caffeine-containing products? And they say, oh, yeah, sure. I typically drink a guarana-based energy drink every day. And that guarana seeds contain about 2 times the amount of caffeine than regular coffee beans. And people don't understand that. There are some energy drinks that contain caffeine as well as guarana. And if you have a heart problem and if you're taking heart medications and you're taking, a supplement that contains about as much caffeine as, 8 cups of coffee, that could be a big problem.
Yeah, it really is. And I think we're seeing that in the news now with issues of kids and these energy drinks that they're drinking. And it's a whole nother issue with children, too, because, you think about it, you wouldn't just give your kid any kind of medicine that you don't really understand or know about. But yet people do think that it is kind of safe to give your kids information like this. So I want to thank my guest. The important take home is talk to your doctor about it, especially if you're on any kind of medicines at all. Let them know what you're taking. It's very important. This is ER 101. I'm Dr. Lee Vanocur on Radio MD. Stay well and tune in to your health.